It's Monday, meaning it's time for our weekly BizLex chat with none other than Business Lexington Editor-in-Chief Eric Carlson, where we dig a little deeper into the business headlines of the week. Eric, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
To start, let's talk about the signature drink of the Commonwealth. Of course, we're talking about bourbon, and right now Kentucky is well-stocked, I understand.
We sure are. For the first time since the 1970s, we have more than 5 million barrels aging in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. In fact, just under 5.3 million barrels as a result of a 1.2 million barrel fill of last year, and we're going to see those numbers continuing to rise as the increase for bourbon worldwide has been exploding, and also that the distilleries have been expanding their capabilities and capacity to store these barrels to meet the demand.
Now, shifting gears a bit, we also had news last week that a carbon capture power plant will be coming online for the first time in Kentucky with some help from the University of Kentucky. Talk a little bit about that collaboration near Harrodsburg.
Yeah, the university's Center for Applied Energy Research is going to go ahead and put in the first carbon capture plant at Kentucky Utilities' Brown Generating Station down near Harrodsburg. And what that will do will capture the carbon that is normally released into the air through stacks at other power plants. And this one, unlike what we've talked about in the past, of just kind of keeping it in the ground, is going to go ahead and test different ways that this carbon can be used and scrubbed in other ways so that when it does eventually go out into the atmosphere, it is not at the levels that it is normally with a burning process. And so this is a pilot program to see what in actual practice is the best way to do this so that hopefully we can get other power plants online with similar technologies in the future.
And finally, we've had our own battle here in Lexington, of course, over some ambitious arena plans downtown, but we're not the only ones. Tell us about the case of a Columbus, Ohio mayor who dealt with a similar situation.
Yeah, one of the things that we've talked about a lot in the Rupp Arena project was the success that Columbus, Ohio had since they opened Nationwide Arena in 2000 and the arena district that has built up around it. But since Mayor Gray shelved the renovations of both Rupp Arena and the Convention Center, I wanted to look back at Columbus and show exactly how they went ahead and got the project done, because it did not go smoothly for them as well. Back in May of 1997, there was a three-year half-cent sales tax put on the ballot in Franklin County, Ohio, that went down pretty soundly, that would have built what turned out to be Nationwide Arena and a soccer-specific stadium in the middle of Columbus's downtown. And in the days after that, Mayor Greg LaShuka went ahead and put together a coalition of local business leaders to get this project done. And part of it involved selling city-owned property in the area to incentivize Nationwide to be the ones that built this arena and also do a development around there. And so I think, as Gray had talked a lot in the past about learning from Columbus and how they were successful, I think now that we're kind of at a crossroads now with the Rupp Arena project, it might be time to look at Columbus again.
Eric Carlson, Editor-in-Chief of Business Lexington, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
And a quick reminder, if you've missed an episode of BizLex Chat, you can stream all past installments at our website, wuky.org, or download them in podcast form. You'll also find more local news and in-depth stories there, available 24/7 on demand with no paywall. It's all easy to find at wuky.org.